I want to invite you to open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to take a little break from the Gospels for a few weeks. I believe that a church needs to be balanced. We've been called to many things, and I've been called as a pastor to preach the whole counsel of God. I believe that a church has got many things that we need to accomplish. But I believe that if we keep evangelism as the main thing in our church, it'll take care of a lot of other things. Amen. I believe that the saving of souls is the business of Jesus Christ, and it ought to be the business of this church. Amen. And you may protest and say, well, you can't save souls, only God can do that. And I understand your reasoning, but God has chosen to use men and women and boys and girls who believe in Jesus Christ to bring others to Jesus Christ. No, he certainly does the saving. It's the Holy Spirit of God that quickens the soul and brings them to life from death. But God uses people like us to take the gospel to other people. The gospel has been likened to a seed, and he uses people like us to plant that seed, to water that seed, and then God gives the increase. But God will not give the increase if the seed has not been planted and watered. Oh, you don't believe that? Okay. I'm here to tell you tonight that God will not give the increase if the seed has not been planted and watered. Amen. It's not the way it works. If that was the way it works, then he wouldn't have told us to go and preach the gospel to every creature. He'd have told us to just believe and to sit here and be comfortable until he comes again. But he didn't say that. He said to go and preach the gospel to every creature. And so over the next few weeks, I would hope to challenge you to take the gospel to others. I'd also like to do something else over the next few weeks, and it's something we used to do back in the day, if you will. When I grew up in Landmark and had come back and got to lead the worship there for several years and had surrendered to preach different things. But one of the things we would do on a Sunday night was we would have church share time, and similar to praise reports. But what we would do is take time to let people share. If you had the opportunity to share the gospel with somebody in the previous week, we would give you the chance to stand up and tell about that. And so, because I know that you're going to share the gospel with people over the next week, next Sunday night, we'll give you a chance during this time to stand up and tell about getting to share the gospel with somebody. Amen. Amen? Amen. And let me tell you what that does, especially when you're guy up here. If you know the next Sunday night, you're going to ask everybody to tell about sharing the gospel with somebody, I guarantee you, you're going to make sure you share the gospel with somebody, because you don't want to be up here and not have anything to say. And it may be something just as simple to say as, I went through the drive-thru and I handed that young lady there a gospel tract, and as I was pulling away, she was reading it. Amen? Amen? Am I the only one that goes through the drive-thru way too much? No? Other people too? Okay, good deal. Oh, Lord help. Maybe you'll be able to stand up and say, I got to witness to somebody at work or a family member or something like that. But I do want to give you that chance next week. And I tell you, it is a blessing. Every once in a while I get caught without tracks, and I'm ashamed of that. But for the very, very most of the time, majority of the time, I always keep gospel tracks with me. I always try to hand them out everywhere I go, and it's just a blessing to be able to do that. And so I want to encourage you and challenge you to do that. 2 Timothy chapter 1, find verse 7. When you're able, if you're able, please stand. And when you find that verse, please stand. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. It is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you'd bless the reading of your word and the preaching of your word tonight. Please help me, for I'm nothing without you, Lord, and I pray that you would give us a great burden for souls even tonight. Lord, I just thank you so much that you saved my soul. I thank you for the souls of those who have been saved that are here tonight, and I just pray, Lord, that you would help us to realize how precious it is to be given the gift of eternal life. Lord, help us to remember what you've saved us from and what you've saved us to. Lord, I pray that you put your purpose in our heart in a great way. I pray your Holy Spirit would move among us tonight, convict us, give us a burden for the lost and a boldness to go and share the gospel with everyone we can. Forgive us where we fail you. And Lord, I pray that our failures from yesterday would not keep us from successes tomorrow. And Lord, I pray that you bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We want to be challenged to have a greater personal witness. And here in our text, we see an answer to a problem. Because the majority of people who are saved, who will not share the gospel with other people, will not share the gospel with other people because they are afraid. We're afraid to talk to other people about Jesus. It's taboo. It's something that sometimes people don't want to hear about. I knocked on a man's door several years ago and began to try to share the gospel with him. I said who I was and where I was from and why I was there and began to try to speak to him. And he cut me off when I started to talk to him about his personal salvation. I just simply asked, I don't remember exactly if I said, you know, are you 100% sure you'll go to heaven when you die or whatever, but as I began to try to talk to him about his soul, he cut me off and said, I think that's a little bit too personal. And I said, well, maybe it is, but the Lord has commanded us to go and to share the gospel with other people, and I'm concerned about your personal soul. Yeah, it's personal, but it's important. It's vital. And that man shut the door, and he didn't want to talk to me anymore. There are some people who just think it's too personal. We ought not talk to people about that. Sometimes we're afraid, if we've been friends with somebody for a while, we're afraid if we talk to them about that it would hurt that friendship. You know, we've been friends a long time, and that's just kind of getting in their business. I don't want to get in their business. There was a man on the street one day, and somebody came along and began to talk to him about his soul, and the man said, that's none of your business. And the man that was trying to witness to him said, but it is my business. And the man said, well, you must be Moody then. And it was D.L. Moody. Because D.L. Moody had made preaching the gospel his business. He had made reaching other people with the gospel his business. And can I just tell you, it ought to be our business. It ought to be our business because it was Jesus' business. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he said, as I have been sent, even so send I you. And we have been commanded to go and take the gospel to other people. And I don't care what your job is. I don't care if you're retired or you have a job or you're in school or you're a stay-at-home mom or whatever. It doesn't. Your job title doesn't matter. You're to be a witness for Jesus Christ. We're to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. If you guys agree with me, every once in a while you could say amen, it'd be all right. I guess if you don't agree, you could say, oh no. We keep it balanced that way. But the fact of the matter is, our calling in life is to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. We're afraid sometimes. But I want you to understand tonight that the spirit of fear has not been given to us from God. God hath not, verse 7, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. And when we're afraid to witness, that spirit doesn't come from God. Now, we're to fear God, but we're not to fear anything but God. And when we have the power of God behind us, we have no reason to fear. God has given us a spirit of power. Specifically, the Holy Spirit is inside of us. And not only does he quicken us and give us life, not only does he seal us and make us know for sure that we're saved, but he gives us power to go. That's what he told the church at Jerusalem, wasn't it? He said, I want you to just wait because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And when the Spirit comes, he's going to give you power. And he's going to give you power for a specific purpose. You remember what that was? To be witnesses unto the Lord Jesus Christ. So God has given us his Spirit to give us power. And he's given us the Spirit of love. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And we need to understand tonight that we don't need to be afraid because God's given us power. And we don't need to be afraid because God has given us love. And love overcomes fear. Amen? Amen. Well, what would it be that would cause somebody? You just imagine for a second, if you wake up in the night and the smoke alarms are going out off in your house and there's smoke coming out of the bedrooms and there's fire in your child's bedroom. Are you afraid of the flame? Are you afraid of the smoke? Of course you are. But you love your child, so you don't care. You burst through the door and you rescue them from the flames because even though you're afraid of the flame, you love your child too much to let them burn. We when you see a situation where there's great cause for fear, we understand that love will overcome that. Let me tell you something, friends. We're supposed to, number one, love God above everything else. Which means if we love God, we'll keep his commandments. Jesus said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? I don't understand Christianity today. I don't understand churches today. I don't understand people in this church today who think being a witness is optional for us. Because if you've opened your Bible, I don't think you can read very much of it without finding a verse that tells us to go and be a witness. Our Bible is riddled with the gospel and the command with us to share it with other people. We have a choice to either try with all our might to win souls or to be disobedient to God. Those are our only two options. And if we love God, we're going to do our very best by his grace to keep his commandments. And we're also supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. I don't know about you, friend, but I've been rescued. Amen. I am more aware today than I ever have been in my life that I deserve hell. Amen. Amen. I deserve the lake of fire. I know that I have violated the commandments of God. I know that I lived in unbelief. I know that I am a filthy, wretched, blind, naked, no good sinner. I know that's who I am. But Jesus had mercy on me, and he saved me. He gave me forgiveness of sin and life everlasting, and I love him for it. And because he's given me that, I ought to love my neighbor. Let me tell you something, friend. There's no greater way for you to love your neighbor than to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I already know there's some of you that are more bent towards friendship evangelism. That's the term we give for people who think that you got to be friends with somebody before you can share the gospel with them. I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to be somebody's friend if you don't love them enough to share the gospel with them. What kind of friend are we? I'm going to tell you this, too. The longer you go with knowing somebody without sharing the gospel, it doesn't get easier. It gets harder. The longer you wait, because the longer you wait, the devil whispers in your ear and he says, well, you can't tell them now. What are they going to think about you now that you've waited so long? And I just go ahead and tell you, you tell the old devil to shut up and you just tell him the gospel. Whether you've known him for 5 minutes or whether you've known him for 50 years, if you know somebody that you haven't shared the gospel with, you do it. Yeah. Melissa and I dated for about 17 years before we got married. It took her a long time to decide if she wanted to marry me or not. Took a lot of convincing, Brother Tom. We dated for a long time. I was around her family a lot. I love her family to death. They're real good people. But I'd never shared the gospel with any of them. Too scared, too busy, too stupid, too whatever. Too afraid. Several years ago, Melissa's grandmother passed away, and right before she did, Melissa's grandmother's brother-in-law had led her and Melissa's grandpa to the Lord. Praise God. It's about 2 weeks before she passed. And I got asked to preach that funeral. And it was an honor to do that. I remember looking out at that family funeral. the faces of people I'd known a long time that I'd never shared the gospel with. And it tore me up. So I made a determination, if the Lord would give me opportunity, I'd share the gospel with them. One Sunday morning, we're getting ready, and I had just been praying so hard for Melissa's mom and just the opportunity to witness to her. And while we're getting ready for church, there's a knock on the door. Guess who it was? She never comes to our house on Sunday morning. Not in all the years we've been married, she never comes to our house, but she came that Sunday morning to drop something off. And so I followed her back out to her truck before she left, and I had to stand there at that truck, and I had to apologize to her for never talking to her about the Lord before. And I shared the gospel with her, and she bowed her head right there in that truck, and she prayed and asked the Lord to save her. Amen. The old devil will tell you it's too late. You've waited too long. You don't listen to him. And maybe you're like me and you'll have to go to him and apologize because you haven't talked to him about it before. But that's all right. You do that. I'm so sorry I haven't talked to you about this before. But I just got to tell you, I can't wait any longer. I've got to know. Do you know the Lord? Are you saved? Have you been born again? And by the way, don't just leave it at "are you saved?" Because everybody in this county thinks they're saved. But talk to them and share the gospel with them and make sure they understand about what salvation really is. But talk to them. I'm telling you, you need to make sure. And don't just leave it at "are you saved?" Listen, sometimes we'll let ourselves off with that. But man, I've told you before, I've talked to so many people. "Are you saved?" "Oh yeah, I'm saved." "Tell me about it. How'd you get saved?" "Well, one day I went down front and that preacher slapped me on the forehead and I fell down. When I woke up, I felt funny." Amen. Preacher slapped me on the forehead, he'd feel funny. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. I had a young person tell me the other day, I asked them if they were saved, and there's a temptation to just let it go at that. "Tell me about it." "Well, I got shocked by a light switch." "And that's it. It shocked me." People don't know the gospel. People been in church their whole life don't know the gospel. So we need to share the gospel with them. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of power and of love. And if we love God, we'll share the gospel. And if we love our neighbor, we'll share the gospel. And if you're confused about who your neighbor is, it's everybody but you. Amen. Anybody who is not you is your neighbor. That help that clarify that for you? And he's given us a sound mind. I'm worried about my mind sometimes. I was talking to Brother Bill Conley, and he's telling me about how he can't remember stuff and all this different things, and I'm thinking, you're describing my life. I mean, I'm 37 years old and I can't remember stuff. Talking about in the middle of his message, he loses his train of thought and he can't remember what he was going to say. And I'm thinking, okay, this just now happened to you? Because that's been happening to me for a long time. But you know, the Lord works in our minds, not just in our spirit, not just in our heart. But he works in our mind. There's a battle that takes place in our mind. And when our minds aren't right, it's because our heart's not right. But God wants to change our mind and to renew our mind day by day, and he does that through his word. Let me tell you an amazing thing. When you're trying to witness to somebody, the Lord will bring things to your mind if your heart's right, if your spirit's right. He'll bring things to your mind. It's an amazing thing. I love to see God work, and I've seen it in myself. I've seen it in others. I've been soul winning with people before, and somebody will come at them with a question. This lost person has a question, and they've got a scripture like that. And I'm like, man, that was awesome. And they'll have another question, and the scripture's right there. And I've seen it where somebody will come at me and they're like, what about this? And God just brings a scripture to my mind. Or they don't know about this or that. And God works in our mind. He does it through His Word. But if we don't put His Word into our mind, He doesn't have anything to work with. Amen. He's not going to bring something to your remembrance that you haven't put in there in the first place. Amen. So we've got to be in the Word. So God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Look at verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul, he says, I'm ready to come preach the gospel at Rome. He says, I'm debtor. I owe the gospel to everybody. Not just the Jews, the Greeks, everybody. And in Romans 1:16 he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth. I am not ashamed. It's one of my least favorite verses in the Bible. I don't like that verse sometimes because it convicts me so much. You want to know why we don't witness to people? Well, I'm afraid. I'm busy. I'm not good enough. You can give me all your excuses you want to, but I tell you this, and I believe with all my heart, the number one reason that we really don't witness has nothing to do with fear. It has everything to do with shame. When I pass up an opportunity to share the gospel, it's because I am ashamed. Now, you might not want to admit that tonight. You might not even be able to admit that tonight. But I think deep down in your heart and your conscience, you know that when you're at the gas station and you're pumping fuel and this truck pulls up on the other side and this guy gets out and starts pumping his fuel and you think for a second, there's an impulse, just for a moment, that I got to give that guy a gospel tract. And you don't do it. It's not because you're in too big a hurry. It's not because you're too busy. It's not because you're afraid of how he'll react. It's because you're ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because we don't want to be associated with him. We don't want people to think we're some kind of Jesus freak or religious nut or whatever. But at the end of the day, it's because we're ashamed. Amen. We don't want to be associated with him for some reason. We won't want people to know. Oh, it's okay to wear the t-shirt or have the sticker on the car or whatever, but to actually say the gospel to somebody else? Listen, friends, he gave everything for us on Calvary. Amen. We who deserve nothing but wrath were given nothing but love. Amen. Now why? Why won't we utter his name? Let me tell you another thing that's amazing about us. A couple of weeks ago, when was the cruise night? Is that a week ago or 2 weeks ago? Time flies when you're having fun. I got a stack of tracks. I parked my truck over at the Simple Simons, and I got out, and I started walking down through there trying to talk to people. First person I saw was a kid at the gas pump. I still am looking for him. His name's Kane. He's going to come to church. He told me he would be here. And if they tell you they're going to come, they're going to come, right? I thought he meant last Sunday, but apparently he meant a different Sunday. I gave Kane a gospel track, and I asked him if he went to church anywhere around here. He said, I just moved here from Arkansas. I'm staying with my grandparents. I'm going to school at Fort Smith, at Ufus. I like to call it Rufus. But he said, I'm going to school over here. Are you going to church? No, I don't. Did you ever go to church growing up? Not really. Well, do you know where you're going when this life's over? No. So I got to share the gospel with that young man. He didn't pray or be saved or anything like that, but he was very attentive and he listened. And he promised me he'd think about what we talked about, and he was going to look at that track some more, and he said he would come to church. But I just got down there and just kind of started going through and trying to talk to different people. But there's something that we do sometimes. We tend to gravitate towards people who are like us. People who kind of dress similar to us or act similar to us or whatever, we tend to gravitate towards those people. And sometimes we're so goofy that we try to go to people who look like they're probably already in church. That's good. We ought to take the gospel to everybody, right? Amen. Even people who go to church need to hear the gospel. Amen. But can I just tell you that we need to go to everybody? And instead of trying to find people that are already like us, we need to go to people who need the Lord. Amen. Don't be scared to go to those people who look rough and talk rough and live rough. Let's just be honest. I'm not trying to be judgmental tonight, but you can see people and you can tell. You get a real good idea what kind of lifestyle they live by the way they look and talk and act. Amen. Is that fair to say? I know, I'm judging. But if a guy's cussing like a sailor and he's got a pile of beer cans in the back of his truck, I'm just going to assume that maybe he's not saved. But instead of walking past that guy, maybe that's the guy we need to go straight to. Well, that guy doesn't want to hear the gospel. That guy needs to hear the gospel. So does that guy, and so does the guy on the hill in the biggest, nicest house in town. We take the gospel to everybody. It's funny. When I was over in Salisaw, it was so funny because we go out to knock on doors and everybody wanted to go, you know, to rougher parts of town. I loved it. Let's go over here to this area because it's rough. And those people will talk to us. But there were some nicer neighborhoods up on the hill with some big nice houses, and nobody from our church ever wanted to go up there. Those people won't listen to us. But you know what? They need the gospel too. Amen. Yeah, maybe they'll slam the door in your face. Who cares? We pray for them. We give them the gospel the best we can. We go on. But we need to take the gospel to everybody. Be not thou for ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me a prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now, we don't know what the afflictions of the gospel are here in America. Somebody talked hateful to you, threw your tract in the trash, slammed the door in your face, made fun of you for praying over your meal at noon, laughed at you for reading your Bible on your lunch break. That's the affliction that we know of here. Let me tell you about affliction in other places in the world. People are thrown in jail. People are shot. People's families are burned alive. People's tongues are cut out. And their ears are seared with hot irons. I'm not talking about the Middle Ages, people. I'm talking about right now in 2016. People are imprisoned and murdered and tortured for their faith and their preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the next time you think you're going to go on outreach and you go and somebody slams the door in your face and you get your feelings hurt and quit because of this harsh affliction, you just stop and think about the people in China today. You stop and think about the Christians in Egypt and Iran and in Iraq. You stop and think about the people who are really suffering affliction. And then you go and knock on the next door. I want you to look at verse 9 real quickly. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Have you been saved by the grace of Jesus Christ? Then you have a holy calling. You have a purpose. You have the grace of God on your life. And our purpose is to take the gospel to other people. Let me very quickly give you three reasons why you ought to have a greater personal witness and why I ought to have a greater personal witness. Number one, because hell is real. Amen. Jesus said, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. The rich man in hell cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And let me tell you, friend, that rich man is still crying out in hell tonight. Revelation 14, 11 says, the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 7 says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Now you ought to take 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, and you ought to read it in the morning. And when you're thinking about that person at work you haven't witnessed to, and when you're thinking about your classmates at school that you don't know if they're saved or not, and you're thinking about your family member or your friend or your neighbor, or you're thinking about who we might knock on their door tomorrow night on outreach, you ought to think about the fact that it's not just a person, not just a classmate, not just a neighbor, not just a family member, but it's a soul that is facing the eternal vengeance and fire of God without Jesus Christ. That's who they are. They're not just people, they're eternal souls. Hell, friends, is real. As much as I hate the thought of it, as much as I hate to even imagine it, it's real. And it doesn't matter how much you don't like it, it doesn't make it any less real. It's real. It's real for that rich man in hell tonight who would give anything for other people to be saved, who would give anything to just have a drop of water on the tip of his tongue. He begs for that. He pleads for that. He cries out for that today as much as he did thousands of years ago. It's real. Number two, time is running out. Psalm 90, verse 9, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. 1 Chronicles 29, 15 says, our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. James 4 tells us that our life, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Hell is real and our time is running out. We have just a little bit of time. If you live to be 100, it'd be a blink. Some of you are a whole lot closer to 100 than I am, and I guarantee you, your life seems but a moment when you look back. It's a vapor. If you live to be 100, it'd be just a moment, but none of us are guaranteed another day. Go to, ye that say, tomorrow we'll go into such and city and buy and sell and get gain. You don't know what tomorrow brings. We have no guarantee of anything. I have today to live for Jesus. I have today to witness to everyone I can. We have today, and that's it. Time is running out. And lastly, not only is hell real and time is running out, but there is no other way. It wasn't for nothing that Jesus prayed in the garden, oh, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Why did he pray that? So that you and I would understand there is no other way. It wasn't possible for the cup to pass from Christ if we were to be saved. God set in plan of motion back in the very Garden of Eden for mankind to be saved, and he was going to carry out that plan, and it was the only way for us to be saved. There is no other way than the death, burial, and resurrection of God himself in the flesh, Jesus Christ. Be it known unto you all, Acts 4:10, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's Jesus Christ and him alone. There is no other way. And you could say, well, I'm going to let my life be a testimony for Jesus. And I hope your life is a testimony for Jesus. But people will not be saved just by watching your life. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if we don't preach it, they can't hear it. If they don't hear it, they can't believe it. And if they don't believe it, they can't call on the name of Jesus and be saved. Friends, we have to tell them. We have to tell them. It's God's only way of salvation is the preaching of the gospel. To them that perish, it's foolishness, but to us which are saved, it is the power of God. Amen. I'm glad somebody else preached the gospel to me. Amen. Friend, if you're saved tonight, it's because somebody preached the gospel to you. Amen. Probably lots of somebodies. Amen. And why? Why wouldn't you want to be that somebody for someone else? Hell is real. Time is running out. And there is no other way. 1 John 5:11, this is the record that God hath given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Friends, we're called to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. You say, I'm afraid. I want to encourage you to do this. We're going to get ready for an invitation. If you're afraid to share the gospel, then turn that fear into something positive. Let your fear drive you to your knees to ask God to give you help and strength to be a witness. I was saved when I was 14 years old. I wasn't scripturally baptized till I was 17 years old, and I had no idea what soul winning was until I was about 17 and a half, 18 years old. I had no clue. I'd never heard of door knocking. I'd never heard of visitation or outreach or anything like it. And these people back here know a young man named Patrick Trusty. He was our pastor for just a little while. And Patrick came, and he said, I'm going to go soul winning. He said, I'm going to go on visitation. I'm going to go door knocking. And I said, what's that? And so I went with him, and we went around our community, and he knocked on the door, and somebody come to the door, and he'd say, are you saved? Amen. And he'd share the gospel with them. Amen. And I ran around with Patrick a lot. We went to visit people at Tulsa at the hospital, and we'd stop at the store, and we'd go in the store, and the people at the store, he'd say, are you saved? Amen. And he'd try to share the gospel with them. Amen. Craziest thing I'd ever seen in my life. Going around to strangers, asking them if they're saved. It's kind of personal, isn't it? I mean, that's where I was. But God used that in my life. And friend, that's the way we need to be. Maybe you don't think it's for you. But I'm here to tell you tonight, if you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, it's for you. You might say, I'm too old. But I want to tell you something, friends. As long as you draw breath, you're not too old to tell somebody else about Jesus. Amen. They still make phone books. You say you can't get out of your house, get you a phone book and just call everybody in town. Amen. My name's Isaac. I'm from Calvary Missionary Baptist Church, and I just called to share some good news with you today. That sounds crazy, preacher. It's a whole lot better than the phone calls I get. Amen. No, I don't want to buy your insurance. No, I don't want to borrow $200,000. And if you'd loan it to me, you're an idiot. Amen. People think we were nuts if people from Calvary started calling people up like that. I don't really care about that. You know what I care about? I care about the one that answers the phone that's in a bad way and they need to be saved. And you could share the gospel with them. Amen. They could be saved right there on the phone. Amen. Don't tell me you're too old. Don't tell me you're too busy. Let me warn some of you that are busy. You tell the Lord you're too busy to share the gospel with somebody else, He might make it to where you're not busy at all. We better just be obedient every day where we're at. Amen. Every person here has a circle of influence, and hell's still real, and time is still running out. And there is only one way for people to be saved. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight, while we stand together, I just want to challenge you to humble yourself before the Lord. Some of you have made a commitment many times over to be a witness for Jesus. But tonight, you need to renew that commitment. Because like me, we go through those seasons where we're hot and we're cold, we're hot and we're cold. And some of you are cold right now and need to get fired up. And that happens when we get on our knees before God and say, God, I'm sorry I haven't been the witness I need to be. Lord, help me to stir up my heart to be a witness to others. He's convicting your heart tonight. You need to come. And there might be somebody here tonight who's never trusted Christ as your Savior. Friend, those truths ring very true for you tonight. Hell is still real. Time is running out. We're not guaranteed tomorrow, and there is no other way. You must repent and believe the gospel if you'll have eternal life. If he's convicting your heart, or maybe you just need to renew a commitment to the Lord tonight, will you come?